Our reading is found on the back of your bulletin. If you have a bulletin there in front of you, some of you like to turn in your Bible. This is from the 14th chapter of Romans, verses 7 through 12. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God. By the way, that's from Isaiah 45. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word, our hearing of it. And we're calling this Thanksgiving Sunday here at Boskydale, because of course we're right at the start of the week of our Thanksgiving holiday. And the idea of setting aside a certain time to give special emphasis, to give thanks, or just plain Thanksgiving, has seen several milestones or markers in the life of our nation. Little did the Pilgrims and the Indians, indigenous people. Anyway, whatever is the politically correct way now to say Indians. Little did the Pilgrims and those folks know that when they got together to share an autumn harvest feast in 1621, that it would be the beginning of an annual day of giving thanks. And although most of the histories of this holiday no longer give this any emphasis, the thanks that was given was very specifically thanks given to God, who had given them the rich blessings that they celebrated together with a feast. The idea of that day has come over the years to be designated officially as the National Holiday of Thanksgiving Day. Sadly for many, with a great loss of the original meaning. There were several dates, several milestones along the way from that time in 1621 to making this a national holiday, but I'll remind you just a quick few of those dates. 168 years later, in 1789, President George Washington issued the first official proclamation of a Thanksgiving Day. And thankfully, we might add, specifically proclaiming that thanks as a great thanksgiving to God. And then after another interim of 38 years, in 1827, an editor and a writer by the name of Sarah Hale launched a campaign to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. Finally, in 1863, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln heeded her request and proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held every year on the last Sunday in November. I won't tell you what Franklin Roosevelt tried to do with it. He lost. But when Lincoln made that proclamation of a national Thanksgiving Day, he made specific note of the Thanksgiving going up with praise to God. However, through the years, because of the continuing secularization of our country, for far too many, Thanksgiving has unfortunately lost the religious significance that it had in the beginning. For so many of those, it is now just a great day to have a holiday from work, to meet with family gatherings, share a big dinner. And not any of that is a bad idea. It just lacks the most important ingredient, giving thanks to God, who alone gives us the richest of our blessings. Now, I should also point out that although it is questionable as to whether the pilgrims and their friends ate turkey on the first Thanksgiving, through the years, turkey has become the meat of choice for Thanksgiving. And just so you'll drool a little bit now, let's add stuffing and cranberries and mashed potatoes and turnip greens and pumpkin and pecan pies. You are drooling, right? Now, indulge me for just a few more seconds while I continue this festive mood with the famous 1921 poem, Thanksgiving Time, by Langston Hughes. He wrote this: "When the night winds whistle through the trees and blow the crisp brown leaves a-crackling down, when the autumn moon is big and yellow-orange and round, when old Jack Frost is sparkling on the ground, it's Thanksgiving time. When the pantry jars are full of mincemeat and shelves are laden with sweet spices for a cake, when the butcher man sends up a turkey nice and fat to bake, when the stores are crammed with everything ingenious cooks can make, it's Thanksgiving time. When the gales of coming winter outside your window howl, when the air is sharp and cheery, so it drives away some of your scowl, when one's appetite craves turkey and will have no other fowl, it's Thanksgiving time." Too bad Mr. Langston Hughes apparently had gotten caught up even way back in 1921 in political correctness, because you see, that really good poem fails to get to the heart with his last line of all three short stanzas, the line, "It's Thanksgiving time." There was no mention of God. Hear that? And so, if Mr. Langston Hughes doesn't mind, I am going to add my fourth stanza to his poem that I happen to think rounds it out more properly to a real Thanksgiving time. "When the feast table is set with the harvest array, and the family, from toddler to teen to granny, bows to pray, all hearts know the blessings come always from God, as we say, all thanks to you, O gracious Lord, it's Thanksgiving time." Took me a while to put that one together. 17 days, as a matter of fact. But you see, the truth is, all of our approaches to a time of giving thanks, including and especially at a celebration time like Thanksgiving, should be an advance toward a drawing nearer to God. Jesus, in teaching his disciples the essential elements of prayer, pointed out so very clearly, God desires that our understanding of the true source of all goodness that we need and receive has come from his abundant grace and mercy toward us every day. And you know this by heart. Addressing the giving God, he puts in the middle of the model prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, first, for what was to come, he gave thanks. Matthew chapter 15. And when he shared that last supper with his beloved disciples, before they ate the bread, he gave thanks. And before they took the cup, he gave thanks. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And all of that gives rise to the important question of the day: how and to whom am I honestly thankful? How and to whom? And the follow-up question: Is anyone actually paying attention to whether I am thankful? Am I accountable for being a thankful person? Well, Daniel Webster once said, "The most serious thought of my life is that I, as an individual, am accountable unto God." Well, quite possibly he was familiar with these words of Scripture from today's text, Romans 14, verse 10. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. And then verse 12, Paul adds, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Thus, when we're considering the giving of thanks, it is like the giving of anything to God. In essence, we're giving back to God a portion of what he's given to us. Grace for grace. The returning of thanks. And that, my friends, is the essence of our stewardship to our Creator. Now, over the years that I've been with you as your pastor, I think most of you are very aware that I have rarely, if ever, devoted a sermon to what we generally think of as a stewardship sermon, a sermon about tithes and offerings. I know you looked at my tie and you thought that's what I was going to preach about, didn't you? But here's a change. With what I've already said about giving thanks and about the reality of being accountable for our thanks, this today is a stewardship sermon. And I guess the question is, when is a Thanksgiving sermon a stewardship sermon? And the answer, today. You see, stewardship is a big part of who we are in our relationship with God. That is, total stewardship. Our total stewardship involves the totality of us as a person. And given verse 12 of our text of this morning, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. That accountability will be for, among some other things, how we spend our time, the words that come out of our mouth, how we use the talents we've been given, and we all have them, and how we have used the opportunities we've been given to be the witness Christ has called each one of us to be. How we are stewards, how we are managers of what God has given us, time, words, talent, opportunities to witness. Now, we will give an account to God of how we spend our time. Because of the nature of creation, every day that we have is the same for each one of us. We all have 24 hours of time. And how we choose to use the hours of that time is what we are stewards of, what we're going to be accountable for. There are some uses of time that are relatively the same for all normal people. Let's just say for the time being that you're one of those to be counted among the normal, okay? All normal people are given time to have some time to be given to eating right, to getting the right amount of sleep and rest, and the standard amount of exercising your body, and et cetera, and et cetera. There you can fill in the rest of the blanks there. There are just some things that we all are accountable to give some time to. Then there are some uses of time that God's Word reveals as His desire for His children. This is not for everybody, but this is for God's children. Witnessing for Christ, especially to the lost. Helping those in need. Caring for the sick with visits and prayers. Developing your discipleship by regularly reading and studying of His Word. Regular times of worship with the family of God. And ministering to special needs of any people of the world in any of a variety of ways. We will be held accountable for how we use our time, what kind of stewards, what kind of managers we are of time. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and 16, we read, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. We need to pay close attention to this one, because too many times we just let loose and are not paying attention. We're going to give an account. We're responsible for how we have used our tongue. Every day, each one of us speaks enough words probably to fill a book. However, for the best and for the worst of us, we all know that there are things that we should not have said. Gossip, lies, slanderous and hateful things. These kinds of words are obvious that should not be said, but are too often said about another person. And they'll all be recounted as witness against anyone who has spoken them when the time of judgment comes. Thus, my advice to you, don't say them. Avoid them. Words we call curse words. Cuss words gives them the indignity that they deserve. And even more especially, the casual use of the name of God or Jesus Christ. These words spoken, I believe, are grievous unto God, who chose from the very beginning to make the casual use of His name forbidden as the third rule in the basic document of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." In vain, in case you need that to be interpreted for you, means in an improper and irreverent manner and to no purpose. To speak positively about God or to speak to God, that is the only proper, reverent, and purposeful way to use God's name. And please, don't do dishonor to God by abbreviating His name to initials, you know, like OMG. Jesus indicated that the words of our mouth begin in the heart, a heart of good or a heart of evil. He said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." How we speak, words we say, the impact of those words was evident all the way back to the ancient psalmist who said, "To him that orders his conversation properly will I show the salvation of God." We will give an account of our stewardship, of our management of the words of our mouth. And the psalmist may have said it best. This is so familiar to you. Psalm 19. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, in the third place, we are charged with the responsibility of using the talents, being stewards of the talents that we've been given by God. Some people can sing beautifully. Thank you, Ellen. Some people can teach. Thank you, Rose, for dozens and dozens of years of faithfully doing so. Some can preach. And you know, I try to get a good one here in here when I'm absent, so you can occasionally hear some really good preaching. But others are given the talent to faithfully portray the goodness of St. Nicholas, a.k.a. Santa Claus, to the little children of Carbondale. And Corinne, if you will, tell Milton thank you. Some are given the talent of intercessory prayer. And I say thank you to the faithfulness of this whole congregation over the years for your church-wide devotion to constant intercessory prayer. We are all given some talent. Paul wrote of some useful talent being for all of God's people. He wrote it in 1 Corinthians 12. He wrote it in Romans 12. He wrote it in Ephesians 4. And thus we will all be held accountable for finding our God-given talent and then how we use our talent to His honor and glory, of course. So how we use our time, how we use our tongue, how we use our talents, for those we shall be accountable. And we shall also be accountable. We shall be called on the day of judgment to give an account of how we have used opportunities to witness that have been opened to us. Some Christians witness whenever and to whoever the opportunity presents itself. Speaking of Christ at the hair salon or at the gym or inviting people to come to church while they do their grocery shopping. Some tell of the love of Christ over the end of their fishing rod, while they're also praying for fish to bite. Some good folks take Jesus seriously and Him saying that we will be His witnesses and thus using every opportunity of their time and their voice and their talent for witnessing. But many do not. Many find themselves talking about anything and everything, but never about God's work. Our stewardship of the assignment of every Christian to be a witness for Christ, is certain. It's indisputable as to accountability. And when we come to the time of judgment before His throne, we will be accountable for that. Now, if you will, it's time just to stop. Be still. And consider this. So I want you to think hard. Do you get it? Do you get that you are, that you definitely will be held accountable to God for your time? For your mouth and the words that you utter, for your talents, for your witness to Christ as His disciple? Well, I'm just going to make the great assumption that you have been following me and that you know and understand what I've just said. God calls you to be a steward, a good manager of all four of those parts of your life that I've just numbered. And oh, by the way, this Thanksgiving Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday, and this is thus a Thanksgiving sermon. Put it together, if you will, please. Who has given you that time? Who has given you, who the creator of your mouth has given you the ability to use words? Who has put the raw talents within you for you to develop and use? Who has given you His only Son for your salvation that you have no other way to achieve? To have to look forward to, salvation to eventually enjoy forever, and asked only that you be faithful to tell His story whenever you can? Who's given you all those great gifts? Yes, like I've said, you're accountable to Him for how you use those gifts, but you have been given them only because you were given them by God as a privilege of having them in the first place. And what do you say as a grateful receiver of those gifts? I hope you say, "Thank you, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and giver of every good and perfect gift. Thank you. It's Thanksgiving time." And yes, of course, when the word stewardship is used in church, as I've already said, we probably most quickly think of the stewardship of giving, of our money. And that is a vital and important part of stewardship to consider. And we will consider it more thoroughly at another time. But today our concentration has been on the stewardship of our giving of our time and our talents and the words of our mouth and of our witness for Christ, giving to others and thus giving back to God. We give thanks to God for giving us those so that we make good stewards of them and that we may think today of how and when we may use what we have to give them back to God. And so we do give thanks. And the more of giving thanks is we also give our stewardship this Thanksgiving.